Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Over the last few weeks, we've been focusing on our core values as a church. And up to this point, we have really been focusing on fleshing out what they are and why they're important. I mean, the truth of the matter is that every group, every organization, every team has core values. Whether they are articulated or not, you either know them intuitively or instructively. But here at The Path, we don't want to leave it up for interpretation, and so we want you to know. Over the last couple of weeks, we started out with Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to submit to the kingship of Jesus? What does it mean to allow Jesus to rule over our lives when so many other forces attempt to drive us? And then last week, Angel preached about healthy one another relationships. He talked about how we truly need unity and humility in order to thrive. We need to be able to navigate through challenges, not acting as if everything is always okay, but instead eliminating the dysfunction that can creep in when we don't recognize that health and humility are intertwined. And so this week, on the heels of Valentine's Day, I felt it was only right for us to dive into the next core value: love is the motivation. And that's simply my title today: love is the motivation. Now, when you think about love, what comes to mind? That simple four-letter word. I mean, for me, I think back to the year 2000. The year when all we had was a Nokia brick phone. We had call ID. And we had this song that was stuck in my mind as a 13-year-old in middle school, deeply in love. It went a little something like this. You know the song, don't you? I mean, I remember kicking my feet up in my room, laying upside down, having feet on the wall. Don't tell my mama. But I enjoyed those conversations with my first love. It's so funny to think back now because I really had no idea what love was, to be honest. But in my mind, that was love. What is it for you? What conjures up in your mind when you think of the word love? Is it deep, abiding friendships or the way you feel about your family and the bonds that you've built? Are you moved because of the relationships and the things you've done in the trenches with people, the inside jokes and the laughter that can be shared? You know, no matter what our understanding or interpretation of love may be, we all come to this moment with varying levels of engagement with that four-letter word, L-O-V-E. As a matter of fact, for some of us, the word love does not bring up warm and fuzzy emotions, fond memories, or excited insights. For some of us, that word is filled with layers and nuance that require a lot of unpacking it. And yet, at any rate, no matter our relationship with the word, we have to spend some time today digging into what it means for love to be our motivation. If we're to be a church that continues to impact generations to come, then we have an opportunity and a responsibility to build conviction on these core values. And so today we're going to jump into the Gospel of John as we talk about love being the motivation. And we're going to get into John chapter 15. But before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. God in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the ways that you love us. We thank you for the ways that you constantly remind us of love. And we thank you for the ways that you want to model for us how we should love one another. God, I pray as I preach your word that I say only what you want me to say and nothing that you don't want me to say. And ultimately, God, I pray that you will be glorified and your people will be edified. We love you and we pray this in your son Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, and we're going to start in verse 9 through 12, and I'll be reading the NRSV. And it says this: "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be complete and that your joy may be complete." In verse 12, it says this, Jesus says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." In this chapter of John, Jesus is moving toward the end of his earthly journey as he prepares to meet his accusers. And in this farewell discourse, John 13, he modeled a deep abiding love by washing his disciples' dirty, dingy, dung-covered, dusty feet. But then in chapter 14, he deals with the questions and the fears of the disciples when he tells them that he will have to leave. And he says, "I'm going to leave somebody with you." But then in 15, he gives us familiar words that many of us know. We've seen the story about staying connected to the vine. So he modeled in 13, he promised help in 14, and in 15, he gives us a lifeline. But as we pull up to the passage we just read, verses 9 through 12, Jesus says, "Abide in my love." And closes out in verse 12 with the command, "Love one another as I have loved you." Now, as Jesus is speaking to his disciples, he's saying, sit in, remain in, dwell in agape. Agape. You know, a word that we don't really grasp. Interestingly enough, even though the Greek language has far less words to articulate ideas than the English language, we don't seem to have enough words to describe love. You know, love is one of those words that Jesus says here, and yet we don't get it because it just doesn't make sense. Agape? It doesn't make sense because it is a love from above. And that's my first point today. Love from above. You see, this word that Jesus uses over and over again in his conversations with his disciples is relatively unique. According to Greek scholars and philosophers, agape has its most consistent usage in Scripture. It's not very present in other contemporary Greek texts. It's rare, so rare that it's almost non-existent, because it's a love that comes from a place of purity and selflessness. It's a love that's not motivated by reciprocity, familial connection, or romantic interest, but instead, it's the kind of love that says, I love whether you respond, reciprocate, or react. You see, if we embrace love as the motivation, we have to first be reminded that the love that we share is not a love that is transient. It can't be a love that ebbs and flows with emotions. But the only way we can embrace a love like that is if we look to the love that's shown to us. Like, can you imagine the type of love that has to be embodied in Jesus and to give these men the deluxe foot wash, knowing that they will leave him in fear? Embracing the love from above is saying, God, I know full well who I am. I know how unlovable I can be. I know how I am when I don't get my own way. I know how unlovable I can be when I'm having a bad day. I know how ugly my sin is. And yet, you agape me. You agape me. Brothers and sisters, until we're motivated by the love of God for us in our weakest, most vulnerable, ugliest state, we miss it. If we don't constantly go back to the real memory, not the cute made-up one of how God pulled us out of some of our darkest, dirtiest moments in our lives, then it's easy for us to lose the motivation that should propel us to change the world to the glory of God. I mean, a few days ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I was confessing to him that I was judging the Tinder swindler. Now, yes, I was watching the Tinder swindler. Don't judge me. But that's not even the point. The point is, the Tinder swindler was a man who was on the dating app Tinder, and he was finding ways to finesse women out of millions of dollars. making his way, swiping right, and connecting with women. And he was able to finance a luxury lifestyle. But see, the point is not that I was watching Netflix or what I was watching on Netflix. The point is that in that moment, I had to confess that I was forgetting how much God had loved me. And so I was judging this man for what he did. Now, this is not the moment where we're talking about whether or not what he did was right or wrong, but it's the moment where I have to reflect and say, what has the love from God looked like for me? And not forgetting that the love that came from above towards me was towards a guy who himself had been a swindler of sorts. I had been that man who was able to get things that I wanted the way I wanted, when I wanted it, through finessing. And yet, God loved me enough to have my frat brother say, you know what, you're no good, sorry sucker. God loved me enough for him to show me a passage that, where the Bible said, they are the kind of men who worm their way into the homes of weak-willed women, loaded down for all types of sins. Whew. The God that agape'd me enough to show me myself. And you see, and the truth is that it's easy for us to forget. That's why Jesus in our text says, abide in my love, live, dwell, sit in my selfless, sacrificial love. Because when you sit in it, you're able to be reminded of it over and over again. My story may not be your story. There's somewhere in your life, someone in your life that you may have judged, you may have looked at a different type of way. And yet, even if your story is not my story, your story is the story where God agape'd you. You see, when we abide in the love from above, we're able to be motivated to love all around. Love all around. That's my second point. Love from above, and then we're able to love all around. What do you mean by that, Pastor Jazz? I'm glad you asked. You see, I believe that Jesus in John's gospel on his farewell tour, in his farewell discourse, he's leaving things to his disciples in order to say, you know what? This is the blueprint. He's leaving them a blueprint for what it means to abide in agape. And you might say, how do you know? Well, this is how I know, because he keeps saying it over and over again. Even in John 13, 35, he lays it out like this. You want to know how the world would know you're my disciple? Is how you will love one another. Not how big your buildings are, not how nice and ornate your buildings are, not how great your PR is, but how you love one another. And so when I say love all around, I'm talking about how are you loving your brothers and sisters in Christ? Even when they don't fit in the neat little box you want them to fit in, even when you're more concerned about judging their actions rather than loving them with the selfless love of Jesus. You see, in this moment, I'm going to zoom out and give you a little outlook. Love from above, if you zoom out, love from above should impact your love all around. You see, Jesus wasn't exactly in the business of giving suggestions. He didn't say, hey, it might be good. Could y'all love one another? It was not an interrogative statement. It was not a question when Jesus said, love one another? Jesus said, hey, listen, a part of me being the one in authority, a part of me being Lord of your life is this. I'm telling you, love agape, love selflessly, sacrificially one another. He says, in order to look like me, sound like me, and act like me, everything you do must be in the frequency of love. Love that says, I don't know what you're going through, but I just want to do something that brings a smile to your face. Love that says, I'm invested in you. Love that says, I'm willing to patiently walk with you through your dirt. Love that says, I'm so tied to the vine of selfless love that is Jesus, I'm able to give it. Y'all, this ain't easy. I mean, when we came up with these core values, we didn't arbitrarily choose words to hitch our wagon to. Instead, we looked and recognized that the presence of these things would lead to bearing more fruit. But y'all, ultimately, the leaning into the love from above so that we can spread love around to our brothers and sisters is so that we can love aloud. You see, love from above is us being able to recognize who God is and how God has moved in our lives in and through us and with us. And then recognizing that we move on to the people around us, people that are also on the mission with us, people that are also trying to change the world by showing others Jesus. But then loving aloud also takes work. It takes time. It takes energy. It takes resources. You see, God has granted this church, the Path Church, a tremendous opportunity. We've been in the middle schools and high schools around Bankhead for the last 6 years. We've built relationships and partnerships in the area. And in God's divine providence, we were able to move into the Adamsville Collier Heights community in Atlanta. You know, we prayed for a building further away. We prayed and God said no. And yet, I think back 2 years and we were not in a place where we thought we would get a building right down the street from where we were. And yet, God loved us enough to put us right here in the community that we're in. But although that's worth celebrating, although that's worth uplifting, my heart is broken. My heart is broken by the work that still needs to be done. My heart is broken by the fact that there are so many forces fighting against what God is trying to do and proliferating his love through what we're about. You know, about a month ago, a group of men in our church went on a community tour. Went on a community tour with Kenny Hill, and he showed us places that he's been praying for in the community around our church. What broke my heart was seeing, interacting with, and knowing that what's in our backyard, proverbially and literally, was dilapidated housing, human trafficking, drug trafficking, gang violence, prostitution, and the list goes on. And it's happening every single day. Well, couple weeks passed, and so a few weeks ago, we went with Councilwoman Boone, who is in our district, and she was able to get the mayor of Atlanta to come to meet us at the sit-go on MLK. Now, no matter where you are, you know what MLK looks like in your city, and it's no different in Atlanta. It's challenged with all the various ills of society. It's challenged with all the things that we see going wrong. And yet the mayor decided to come. While we were there, before he arrived, there was a cocaine bust. And the moment he left, there was a woman that we had seen walking back and forth up the street. She was a prostitute. She stood beside the building and took her clothes off and started cleaning herself. And it was in that moment that my mind was blown that in broad daylight, right here, where we're trying to create change, where we're trying to be motivated by the love of God to love other people, in that moment, we saw somebody who was so broken, so weighed down by the challenges of life that all she had was to sell her body. Y'all, it was in that moment that my heart was meshed with the community that God has placed us in. Because the church can't be a place. The church has to be a people. A people so motivated by love that they love one another deeply. A people that is so motivated by love that they love aloud. A people so motivated by love that they are willing to work. willing to get their hands dirty, willing to engage their hearts, willing to move beyond a Sunday ritual to evoke change. The sage Howard Thurman said this, "Of all weapons, love is the most deadly and devastating, and few there be who dare trust their fate in its hands." Just as I said in the beginning, I don't know what your caricature of love is. I don't know if you've been calloused by life. I don't know if it's all a fairy tale to you, but I know that there is a God that loves you so much that you're here listening to these words. And the question becomes, to what kind of love are you willing to respond? Are you willing to respond to the selfless, sacrificial, agape love of Jesus? Y'all, this week, your homework is this. There'll be a list of places placed on the screen towards the end. Take some time, tap one other person, and take some time to pray for the one of these places on this list. We have a plan to impact at least, to take into our own hands this 1 mile radius around our church building. And yet there's so much more that has to happen. There has to be prayerful people who are motivated by love if we're going to take down the strongholds that we see. That's your homework. It's nothing complicated. But it does mean that our hearts have to be realigned with what it means to agape one another and to agape the world around us. I don't know where you've been. I don't know where you're going. I don't know why you may be tuned in right now. Whether you've been withholding love from others, not feeling loved, or simply afraid to extend love aloud to a community and people that desperately need it, my prayer is that you will take a moment to reflect. As we prepare for communion, I want you to reflect on the agape of Jesus that lived and modeled a life of love that was deep and enduring, a love that chose to sacrifice itself on the cross just so that we could commune together. As you eat the bread or the cracker that represents Jesus' body, as you drink the juice that represents Jesus' blood, think about this. How can you be motivated by love today? Let us pray. God, forgive us. Forgive us for all the ways that we allow our own selfishness, our own constraints to get in the way of what selfless, sacrificial love should look like in our lives. God, as we embrace the idea of love being the motivation, help us to have our hearts softened. Help us to have our hearts softened by the love you've shown us so that we can love one another, so that we can leave our own silos of nice Christians and go into the world where we have to love aloud. God, help us to be the ambassadors that you call us to be, focusing on the things that you believe to be major, and silencing the things that are minor. God, as we take communion, help us to show gratitude for the ways that you strive to commune with us even when we run away. And help us turn back to you. We love you. We praise in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.